what you've heard, and you probably know that that's the invitation. What a lot of people don't seem to understand, because they sit here over and over and over and hear an invitation, but for some reason it seems like the idea is it's the preacher inviting you. It's not a preacher. That was Jesus Christ that invited. It was his invitation. It's always his invitation. It's his church. It's him that died for his church. And there's no other name by which the man can be saved but by Jesus Christ. Excuse me, brother. And I know. We start out as you heard him say, "Come unto me." Paul said to the Corinthians, because he said, I didn't give my life for the church like Jesus. But you know, they were disputing about it, whether it was Paul or Silas or Apollos or Christ, who they were for. He said, I didn't give my life for the church. There's no other name that you can be saved but by the name of Christ. That's in Acts 4 and 12. Some people get the idea, and the reason I'm speaking this is not that people in here, it's more or less than anybody that might hear it. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And the Bible does say that. That's very true. But people don't understand what calling is. Calling consists of more than just saying, "Lord, I want you into my life," like a lot of people do, to the CDs or whatever. But calling means, if you will, to hear the word, believe the word, reaching that to confess and be baptized. And then you have made your call. Then after that, to show that you have made the call and that you want to live faithfully for the rest of your life, for the end of your time, whatever that may be. That verse is from Romans 10 and 13. It's all over the country. You drive around on these church billboards and see who calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved. It should say can be saved, because it means more, as I said, than what anybody. He says, "All you that labor and are heavy laden." Man labors in this life. We work for a living. We labor for all kinds of things that's worldly. But he's talking about here the labor that's on top of it. The things that we labor for, the wrong things. We're supposed to be laboring for salvation. We're laboring to get our souls into heaven. That's our main goal, not to leave the others out. They have to be done. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're loaded down with sin. We pick it up as we go through life. We just learn, it just stays on us like dust in the air. And if we don't throw it off, and if we don't remember, be washed in the blood and stay washed in the soul cleansing blood, then it's just going to stick to us, and we're going to get worse and worse and worse. So we're laboring. We're heavy laden, as he says. We're laying down the sin, and sometimes we don't even realize it. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth everlasting life." John 6, when he said, I got caught up, I spit it out. I'll pick it up when I leave. Some get the idea, you know, they don't want to be under bondage to God or any other, but that is telling them how to live their lives. I've heard a lot of people say that, believe it or not. But they don't seem to realize, as Jeff preached this morning, they had built their house upon the sand, and it's not a set sand. And everything, every day that they get through life without starting all over on the solid rock, then their house is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and sooner or later it's going to fall when the flood comes. And he says, you don't seem to be aware that you've already chosen. You've already chosen your master. You are in bondage under someone. You've chosen Satan to be your Lord and Master. Just by the fact that you're not, Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. You can't have no middle ground. You've chosen Satan for your master. And that's how you live in your life. And think about this. You know, a lot of people say, I'm going to live my life, and on my deathbed, I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me. And I just read a verse just the other day that made that sound so cruel. Because it says, when all the books are open in Revelation 20, we will be judged by our works. You wait until your deathbed, where's your work? Like we all answer that, where's your work? I think that's a good one to just block that and mouth. It's not going to work. It says, no, you must, that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of penance and death or of obedience and righteousness. Romans 6:6. Obedience, even Christ had to obey and go to the cross. We all have to obey. We all are under a Lord and Master, whether it's Satan or whether it's Jesus. Says that I will give you rest. Rest and reward. We get, we think, you know, it rewards us greatly. We can do all the time, all the things that maybe we want to do here in this world. We can, we don't have nobody to ask us to. Satan makes it easy for us. That's true. But rest and reward is eternal torment and punishment. That is what we get in the end. It's a trade-off. You might live good right now, but you're going to get torment in the end for everlasting eternity. Whereas Jesus is the one who gives you rest. It's through Christ and through his blood that gives us rest. No other way. Hebrew writer says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us enter into this rest, any of you should seem to come shortly. Hebrews 4:1. And then that's talking to us. That's the habit of Jesus. We don't want to come short of it. We have also mentioned that this morning. It's often said out there a lot that, you know, you can't fall. But all you have to do is read the Hebrew letter and you'll find often in there that you can fall. Even Paul said he still, after he taught everybody else, he could be a castaway. So take my yoke upon you and learn. Take my yoke upon you and get benefit. A yoke is a wooden frame that fits around the neck of animals to hold them together while they're working. It means two. A yoke means two. When you say a yoke, you're talking about two. Solomon wrote, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Or if they fall, the one will be accepted fell. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not enough to help him up. So he has his force. And now it's here. We say, well, we've got our spouses who fall, but that's not the kind of problem we're talking about. We're talking about getting in the yoke. It's an invisible wooden collar around our neck, and then the one right beside of us is Jesus Christ. He will help us up every time we follow. The idea that we're working it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We're not on our own. We're in the yoke. We decide. Decide the invitation. Yes, by accepting the invitation that we're going to get in the yoke with Jesus Christ. We're going to walk the rest of our life in that yoke. We might be making a few mistakes. We might trip over something on the way, but who's going to grab it? Jesus Christ is going to grab it. Who's going to help us up if we fall? As long as we say, hey, get this. If we don't say, get this yoke off of me, I'm done. Then if we stay in that yoke, he's going to pick us back up. All we have to do is stay in it. We can't have anybody better to walk the yoke with. But if they learn of me, a lot of times we think, he says the best way we can learn is to walk even as we walk, at 1 John 2:6. And a lot of people think, you know, as Jeff said also this morning, I'm just repeating this so much. We think, well, we have to be right. We have to be just get right. But no, it doesn't say that in the Bible. We've got the Bible wrong if that's what we believe. We're going to get right. We're going to learn. How better can we learn about Jesus than walking with him? How better can you do that? You're walking the rest of your life with Jesus. Naturally, you're reading the scriptures, you're listening to the preacher, you're doing all that. But you're walking with the Master, the one that does perfect. And How best can you learn? That's the best way to learn. You learn as you go. It's on-the-job training. What you have to do in order to start that, well, to get into that, to get into that yoke, is to accept the invitation from God. Well, I am meek and low in heart. It says, "Behold, I came from a meek," which means gentle, and riding on a political correct donkey. Matthew 21, 5. Let me say that word. He said, "And you shall find rest unto your soul." Here's what everybody needs to realize, the ones that's not got in the yoke, the ones that, for whatever reason, are playing out of that yoke and don't want nothing to do with it. The soul's going to end up somewhere. There's nobody's choice but yours to swear. You can fool yourself all you want to and say, "In the end, I'm going to go to heaven." Everybody thinks they're going to go to heaven. It's strange how the world feels that way. That's not a biblical thing to say. If you're reading at all, if you're listening to the preacher at all, you know better than that. You're going to end that in one place or the other, and the choice is yours. Jesus is not going to force anybody, or God is not going to force anybody. These are all up to us. We have to make that decision. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." 1 John 5:3 says, "For his yoke, for this is the love of God, that to keep his commandments." When I was listening to Tim's message there, he said to be faithful. The best way we can be faithful to God is to get in that yoke, keep his commandments, glorify him. And that's the best way we can show up. It's better than getting on our knees or praying, which is also very great. But I'm saying, if he wants to see in action, he wants it's action. Love is always an action word. You don't just say, "I love you," really do. But we shouldn't. Prove it. Anyway, as I said, every journey begins with a step. Why not make that step today?